Peter Williams is joining me in the studio this morning. Peter Williams is with the Sea Otter Handicraft Coalition. And Peter, I guess that's kind of an inadequate description. You're a Sitkan and a hunter. I asked Peter in this morning to talk about what sounds like an interesting issue, because there have been some high-profile cases recently involving the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and native handicrafts. And I guess the comment period is coming to an end here at the end of the month.
Yes, March 31st will be the end of the public comment on a guidance on authentic native articles of handicraft and clothing made from sea otters.
We were talking a little bit about the Marine Mammal Protection Act and how the Marine Mammal Protection Act seems to spell out pretty simply what's required. And the Fish and Wildlife Service seems to be taking interpretation in a direction not favorable to artists.
Correct. Basically, the Marine Mammal Protection Act exemption for Alaska Natives is a very short, well-written legislation. It's very simple. It's very straight to the point. It says what you can do and what you can't do. It says who can participate. And then within that, it also says what a native handicraft, traditional native handicraft, is, and that it needs to be made in the exercise of, but not limited to, weaving, carving, stitching, sewing, lacing, beading, drawing, and painting. That is very basic, that is very clear, and what I like about the way that the actual legislation is written is that it's describing artistic mediums. Weaving, painting, drawing, sewing are artistic mediums. And in order to create an art or a craft, you have to have a medium. It could not exist without the medium. So I think it's brilliantly written because of that reason. And I understand, as an artist, I understand what beading is. You know, beading is like, can be recognized universal. You can recognize what beading is. You don't have to be an anthropologist of Alaska Native culture to look at a handicraft and go, oh, it's authentic. Now, the problem here is the way that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is implementing the Marine Mammal Protection Act.
The main sticking point, and I think people have heard this, is this idea of significantly altered. You're saying that the Marine Mammal Protection Act describes a series of media that native artists can work in, and yet the Fish and Wildlife Service has a different sort of standard that it's using.
Correct. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is saying that a handicraft must be significantly altered, which isn't in the Marine Mammal Protection Act legislation at all. There is no such language of that. And what they're also saying is the totality of change made to the original sea otter pelt. One of the things that the Sea Otter Handicraft Coalition is proposing is a fairly simple solution. And the simple solution is just enforce the law. Enforce the law that's already there. It's well written. And it also takes care of what seems to be the concern of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which is significantly altered. Because if you take a hide, like I take a hide, I'm a skin sewer, and let's say I'm going to make a pair of mittens out of it. So I draw my pattern, I cut out the mittens out of the hide, and I sew the mittens together. Well, I clearly significantly altered it. But more importantly, I use stitching in making that. Stitching is clearly defined as a traditional native handicraft in the Marine Mammal Protection Act, so thus it is legal.
Okay, mm-hmm. But you think that that the gray area opens up where, when you're getting into that pieces that might not be as significantly altered as a pair of mittens?
I propose to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service taxiderming a sea otter, and I gave them various scenarios, from just a whole body taxidermied, a scenario from a sea otter that had about a 2-inch wide to like 24-inch long strip of fur cut out from the back, replaced with another kind of material. A sea otter with like a dozen 2-inch diameter circular holes removed throughout its body. And I told them that I would use sewing. I even gave one scenario of a taxiderming a sea otter from the chest up, which is approximately a third of a sea otter. They said that that would not be legal to sell to a non-native. They also said that's not significantly altered. So if a third of a sea otter is not significantly altered, I don't know what is. At the same time, the service says it's legal to cut off the head, the arms, the legs, the tail of a sea otter pelt, essentially squaring it out and making a blanket out of that. Now that is far more than a third of a sea otter. that is almost an entire sea otter. And the service says that is legal.
Is the whole idea of significantly altered a tool for officers working in the field to be able to tell what's art and what's not?
Well, in this guidance, they have said that the service takes into account the totality of changes made to the original sea otter pelt and how the changes altered the original pelt when considering whether or not the item has been significantly altered. Artistic value is not judged or interpreted, only the amount of change from the original pelt.
Peter, are you starting to push the envelope a little bit of what an authentic native handicraft is? I mean, I have had recently on this program, I've had Ed Littlefield talking about native music and its fusion with jazz. I've had Ishmael Hope talking about traditional Tlingit story and its merger with the superhero comic. And I wonder, is the same thing happening in authentic native handicraft, that the boundaries of what we expect are moving?
Culture is not static, including traditions. Traditions are not static, although we think they are, but they're not, because they are carried on by each new generation, and each new generation is influenced by something current, something contemporary that's going on. And I think that part of the resistance that Alaska Native skin sewers are finding from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is that they want to kind of dictate to us what our culture is and what our traditions are. The other part is, I think, from an enforcement point. I think what they're doing is, I think they're putting the burden of the law on Alaska Native skin sewers. They essentially don't want me to create something out of a sea otter pelt, someone buy it, take it to Mexico, take it apart, and resell it, which is illegal. That is against the law in the Marine Mammal Protection Act. However, the problem is they're putting the burden on me. They're putting the burden on skin sewers. You can't regulate an industry that way. We don't put the burden on auto manufacturers and blame them once car theft happens. So I think what the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is trying to do with Significantly Altered is they're trying to prevent future crimes from happening.
Peter, can I ask you a couple of questions about
Absolutely.
Yourself and your background? Have you been hunting all your life?
No, I haven't. I started to hunt sea otters in 2006. And sea otter hunting has become really important to me. Part of why it's become important to me is along my journey of discovering my cultural identity and also my masculinity. I am half Yupik Eskimo and half European blend. My native family lives up north. My non-native family lives in Sitka. I moved to Sitka with my mother when I was a few months old. So I was raised up in a white family. And I did experience native culture with the Tlingit community, but I struggled a lot with my cultural identity. And being raised by a single mother, I also struggled a lot with my masculinity and wondering who I am as an Alaska Native male. What really helped me was hunting sea otters, because only Alaska Natives can hunt sea otters. So in a way, there wasn't anything more Alaska Native that I could do. And I felt an immediate connection with hunting marine mammals. Just those thousands of years, I just felt them. And I felt this connection with nature and my ancestors in a way I never felt before. And I've also been tanning for a few years now. And I've been sewing with sea otter for a few years now.
When you meet people, do you refer to yourself as an artist, a hunter, a sewer, or what do you say?
I am an artist. I've been painting and drawing, mostly paint and draw abstract art. And with sewing, it's a rather new medium for me. And I look at it more as a craft. But I look at what I'm doing with my life, looking at my hunting, my tanning, my sewing, the promotion of this industry, I look at that as the art, that my life has become the art, and sewing is a craft for me.
Peter Williams is a hunter who has spent most of his life here in Sitka. He's organized the Sea Otter Handicraft Coalition. You can find out more at his website, seaottercraft.com. Thanks a lot, Peter,
for coming in. Thank you so much, Robert.